we really see a lot of public shootings now, and obviously we're coming off of some really horrific ones, and they're happening more and more. Back in 2014, the New York Times had an article, and the title was "The FBI Confirms a Sharp Rise in Mass Shootings Since 2000," and it seems that in the last year or two especially, we seem to be hearing of more of these. Now, I wanted to ask our special guest, Oscar Rivera, in light of recent church shootings especially, as well as these other mass shootings, as a law enforcement official, as someone who has 25 years as in the state police, what is your opinion, what is your feeling on people carrying concealed weapons to public events, if allowed, or even carrying a concealed weapon to church or to a service for the sake of protection?
Well, certainly if someone wants to protect themselves with a firearm, they certainly have the right to do so. But I believe it is very important that if a person chooses to do so in this fashion, that they should do so only after the proper training experience. I believe I alluded to this earlier. And also after obtaining the proper permits for their jurisdiction. So in other words, I don't think people should just run to a local gun shop and purchase a firearm. That's not enough. Improperly handling a firearm could lead to unintentional injury to self or others. So you're actually becoming more of a danger to others and yourself than you were actually seeking to prevent. So I think it's very important that if you're going to protect yourself with a firearm, you do so after proper training. Also, with respect to carrying a firearm at a place like a church, I think the same applies. People should act in kind when going to church and carrying a firearm. However, I think there's a larger question when it comes to churches and private organizations. Do they want firearms carried in their churches? I suppose there are varying opinions on this. I know as a citizen what my opinion would be, and that would be my hope that I could carry wherever I go. However, I can understand why certain public or private agencies don't accept this. So I think it's important for churches to have the conversation so that they know as a body how they want to approach this. I think it has to be very well. Go ahead, Keith.
No, that leads me, Oscar, just what you're saying, how you would respond to a church that put up a sign that said something like this is a gun-free zone. I think you've answered that. And you have led me to the next one. What advice do you have for churches to do what they can to prevent a mass shooting at their church? You know, Isaac and I are both pastors, and in the culture in which we live, this is something that is close to our hearts because we recognize, particularly when you take the kind of stand that Isaac and I would both take as pastors in our pulpit, some of the things that we would preach on, we might become targets in our ministries. So what kind of advice do you have for churches and how they can prevent this kind of thing? What kind of attention should a church be giving to its own policy of protection and keeping their people safe?
Well, that's an interesting question, Keith. You know, you mentioned the gun-free zone signs. I think, you know, and my thought on these signs have always been they're only as effective as the people who read them and their willingness to abide by them. So what I would say is a criminal is not going to be willing to abide by those signs.
Bad guys are going to pay attention. That's right.
Right. The people who are abide, they're not the people who are going to be your issue. But when you're talking about prevention of these shootings at churches, I think it's important, again, for churches to have the conversation, but also for the awareness to be there. I think a lot of churches, again, going back to my Mayberry comment, are still operating under the assumption that they're a safe environment. People come there to seek respite. They're not coming to create issues. But you never know what people will bring from their private lives or someone coming wanting to create an issue, gather attention, will try to do to even a church. So I think it's important for churches to look at what the risks are in their communities and then determine, based upon those risks, what their vulnerabilities are at their churches, and then act as a body to try to close those vulnerabilities.
That's a lot of good information for our listeners, Oscar, and I hope those folks listening today who maybe can share this with pastors or leaders at their churches will do so. You know, talking as a pastor who's tried to work through some of this, and I know I have still a lot to go, but thinking about different things that can be set up, you know, security cameras or security systems and, you know, plans and just planning ahead, Some people might argue that we're not trusting in the Lord if we do this. We're trusting in, you know, these systems or video cameras. We're trusting all of our plans. Speaking as someone who's a strong believer in the Lord, as well as our duty to do our best for the Lord, how would you respond to that that argument that, well, maybe we won't trust the Lord if we're planning ahead to protect ourselves?
So, first of all, let me address the first part of the question about security cameras or different tools. So whatever a church would choose to use to try to protect themselves, provide better security for themselves, let's say during a service or whatnot, must also be accompanied by the appropriate monitoring. So if you're going to have cameras that you want to be able to monitor the exterior of the church, the entrances of the church, in hopes of preventing a mass shooting or any other type of crime, you need to have the people monitoring actively while that's happening. Otherwise, cameras are just a very nice tool that are there basically recording what happened. You want to prevent the event from happening, so you need to have active monitoring, so you need to have people assigned to do those things. But with respect to it being showing our lack of faith in the Lord, if we do those things as a church, I completely disagree with that. I like what James tells us. Faith without works is dead, right? So I'm confident the Lord wants us to be safe, at church or home or whatever. But he also expects us to put our faith to work towards that safety. In other words, we have to do a lot of work about that. Yes, we should trust the Lord, pray, ask that he will guide us along that way. But to sit back and do nothing with it is just like James tells us. If your brother comes to you and he says that he's hungry, and you say, bless you, and we hope that the best for you, and send him away, and he's still hungry, we've done nothing. So we need to take the action ourselves.
Good, Oscar. So from your background and experience with law enforcement, talk to us a little bit about the communication that ought to exist between a church and their leadership and the police in their community. How should that work? Why is that important?
I think one of the best things that churches could do, and I'll say this while I'm thinking about it, Isaac's done it at our church, Hamburg Bible Church, is to connect with the police department. You know, building relationships with the police at your local police agency is a good way to obtain guidance on how to better protect your church. In many cases, they have community services officers who can provide a cursory review of your overall safety and provide the guidance and case-specific solutions that you need to protect yourselves. You really don't want to get to know your police department for the first time during a tragic event. Having built relationships ahead of time goes a long way toward helping to mitigate and to prevent some crime. You want your church to be able to be a place where officers feel comfortable parking their vehicles for traffic enforcement. Some parishioners may not like that, but you want the police to feel comfortable. You want to be a place where they feel that they can come and stop by for a cup of coffee and discuss what's going on, a place to come and do their reports. So it's important to build those relationships because it pays you back and having them connected to you as well as part of the community.
Well, you know, here at American Pastors Network, that is one of our foundational beliefs, is to bridge this gap with churches and civil authorities. And law enforcement, of course, are on the front line of that, and how important it is for us as pastors who are ministers of the gospel to work together with those who are ministers of justice to see God's work being done. Our civil authorities are ordained by God and are used by God. So are there any other tips that you might have for a pastor who's looking for a way to reach out to the law enforcement community?
I think that there are various times throughout the year that are beneficial for, Memorial Day, 4th of July, that you could take the opportunity to invite police and emergency personnel to your churches for services that you may have and take the time to honor them. A lot of times I think of police as the forgotten community out there because they're just expected to be out there doing their job. And the public should feel that, expect that of their servants. But I think it's also important for churches to take the step to reach out to them because a lot of times they're too busy to do it the opposite way.
Well, I like that, the forgotten community. So don't forget that, to think about and pray for your forgotten community, and as a church, find ways to reach out to them.